Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network, also our FTN Network YouTube page. Chris Meany here with you. Always appreciate your time here today. We are going to continue the NFL talk. We do have some MLB picks and some MLB props a little bit later on in the show. Yesterday went okay, not going to lie. I always am a little bit ticked off when we lead with a prop that I feel like is my favorite and we don't get it. So that happened yesterday in Jake Odorizzi. That guy struggled yesterday against the Oakland Athletics. We had over 4.5 strikeouts, so we did not get that. So we got to bounce back strong with that lead prop. I got a few MLB picks and props, though. The day actually turned out to be okay. We got lucky with the Astros team total. We had to sweat that one out. They got 5 runs, but we did have them on the run line, and they got spanked yesterday by the A's. But we did get Nick Lodolo over 6.5 strikeouts at plus 125. We had the Rockies at plus 165 on the money line. And then we had Andrew Benintendi, who had a stolen base against Noah Syndergaard at 12-1. We talk all the time when Noah Syndergaard is on the hill to attack stolen base props. We've seen some guys like Jesus Aguilar, who had 0 career stolen bases. He didn't even have an attempt, I don't think, until he faced Noah Syndergaard. He got a single. I believe he actually walked in that game about a month ago, and then he stole a bag. So if he's stealing bags, absolutely everybody is in play. We also had Whit Merrifield in our FTN bet tracker, courtesy of Josh Gross, the FTN betting family, hit that as well. So we're going to try to bounce back, strong off the top. Towards the end of the show, we do have some MLB picks and props. It is Shane McClanahan Day, so of course we're going to talk about him, have a few strikeout props as well, and it is the Battle of New York here this evening between the Yankees and the Mets, so we'll touch on that game in just a little bit. We're going to continue the NFL team previews. We are still inside the AFC South, my bad. We will be done this division pretty soon. We're going to talk with the Houston Texans. Yes, we are. We are going to talk with the Houston Texans, believe it or not. Slow down and say, rewind the tape. And those words were actually, believe it or not, there are some interesting targets, some value inside this squad, particularly Brennan Cooks, who has finished as a top 20 wide receiver in PPR formats in each of the past 2 seasons and is not getting drafted as a top 20 wide receiver. We'll talk about Davis Mills, talk about the backfield, and Brevin Jordan, who I think is an interesting tight end who's not really getting drafted in your standard 12-team leagues, really towards the end of tight end premium leagues and people who are playing with 2 tight end slots on their fantasy squads. Believe it or not, there are people out there that like to roll out at least 2 tight ends per week. I think it's cool. I think, digging deep in all my fantasy leagues, I like to have as many roster spots as possible. I'm in, fantasy football leagues with about 33 to 40 roster spots, some IDP sprinkled in there as well. Just have a larger player pool, really, a couple quarterbacks, a couple tight ends. And the Independence Day Invitational that we talked about last month, that had 2 tight ends. So we talked about that strategy and just the tight ends really do fly off the board. But we will talk about Brevin Jordan a little bit here on this show. I'm interested. I'm certainly interested. Somebody's got to catch passes in Houston. They are going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. They are long shots to win the division, like 45-1. To win the AFC South, which is probably the worst division in football. I think it is. Like a lot of people talk about the NFC East, the Giants improved. I think Washington improved. The Eagles certainly improved. Dallas is still the favorite to win that division, looking like they're going to have double-digit wins. There's like a lot that could happen in the AFC South. The Titans are not as great. The Colts upgraded the quarterback position, but they laid an egg towards the end of last season. Jacksonville, Houston, not great either. I'm not saying the Texans are going to win the division, but I'm saying you may want to sprinkle maybe a buck down at 45-1. I've never seen anything like it. Most books have 25-1, but our free prop shop parlay calculator over at ftnbets.com showing me, I believe Caesars has 45-1 for the Texans to win the division. Who knows? An injury at the quarterback position in Indy, Matt Ryan, Colts could be screwed. And we don't know about the Titans. Like if Derrick Henry went down, who knows? Like maybe the better bet would be on Jacksonville, but who knows? We've seen crazier things happen, especially in the NFL. Speaking of the Jags, we're going to take a look at round 15 of NFFC high stakes leagues, the ADP in that round. Just a little bit of a look. We're getting pretty deep now. I don't know how much deeper we're going to go. Every time I give the board to George, like, we're in round 15. He says, another one? When are we stopping here? We may stop around round 18 or 19. Some people play in deep formats. Of course, NFFC has, you know, 30 rounds deep, you know, the draft and holds. The best ball that I did a couple weeks ago, that was 26 rounds. So we won't go that deep, but we are diving a little bit deep in here today into round 15. I got a couple targets I actually like from round 15, and there's a couple interesting names as we get into round 16 and 17. We may stop at 18. We may go to 20. Who knows? We will talk about a Jaguar that is getting drafted from round 15. So I kind of have a soft spot for him as well, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. We're going to continue to talk about running backs. Yesterday, I mentioned five sleeper running backs, a couple rookies in there as well. That video can be found on our FTN Network YouTube page. You can go back and watch it if you want. And today, I'm just going to continue the running back talk and just look at undervalued, less sexy names. Again, I mentioned yesterday sleepers, pretty much just guys that I think, you know, for me, the definition would be players that will outperform their ADP. It could be early. We talked yesterday about like Cam Akers and AJ Dillon, a couple guys that I think could outperform their ADP. Ramondre Stevenson is another one that I think could outperform his ADP. Miles Sanders, believe it or not, I do believe can outperform his ADP getting drafted around RB30. I think he could be an RB2 outside the top 24 at running backs. So he's one. We tried to stick in between ADP in terms of, you know, running back the position, right around RB37 to RB50-ish. And then today we're going to dig even deeper than that. Again, not really sexy names. I don't think that these guys could be game-changing players for your fantasy squad, but I think they can help you out. I think they're undervalued, and I think that they can turn out to be, you know, flex pieces for you, and they're not really getting drafted that way. These guys are going like RB50, RB60. So we'll touch on a couple of those names as well. And we will hit up on some news if a few things do break here today. I know the Colts are in the news and we already previewed them. I saw that Chris Ballard, general manager, said that they haven't had any discussions with Julio Jones and that potentially T.Y. Hilton could come back to the squad as well. They're closing the door on T.Y. Hilton. I don't think T.Y. has too much more to offer, honestly, but it wouldn't be great news for those who do like Paris Campbell. And there are some Paris Campbell truthers out there, believe it or not. Speaking of fantasy football, volume two, the Jeff Ratcliffe game plan is live through your player profiles. You got cheat sheets, auction values, top rookies, advanced stats, rankings for all the major fantasy football platforms. And I'm talking like Superflex, standard, old school standard, half point, full point, tight end premium. It's all there. Jeff has you covered. He's got projections. He's got, you know, write-ups for every single player. Basically, volume two is now live. All of our rankings can be found over at ftnfantasy.com. Myself, we got Nelson Souza, one of the better high-stakes players. Vlad Sedler's got his rankings up there. We got best ball rankings. We have, you know, hopefully we have you covered for whatever format it is that you do indeed play. And of course, we have all kinds of content, which is included in the Fantasy Football Platinum Package. You get the game plan. There's going to be another updated version of the game plan, but you do have those cheat sheets to kind of help you with your draft, and then all the content, some tools, projections, Discord. We've been doing live chats over in our FTN Discord channel as well. So lots of great content. You can head to ftnfantasy.com/pricing. What's the website that company I work for? ftnfantasy.com/pricing. Use the promo code Meanie, save yourself a little bit of cash, and I suggest getting the package because we'll be with you throughout the entire season as well. Weekly rankings, Jeff was the number one ranker in the game last year. You'll have all the rankings, projections, the start and sit tools, 40 plus tools available in the package as well to help you get set up. And a couple of those tools, we've done some tutorial videos on our FTN Network YouTube page. The NFL Optimizer, of course, this is a little bit different because that's a DFS, but the NFL Optimizer, we have a video from Kyle Murray. We have a splits tool from Tyler Lochner. Just taking a look, I love the splits tool. It's really cool. It helps you kind of make those decisions, start and sit. Maybe if you wanted to make a bet on a certain player or just a DFS play. Just basically what Tyler went through that tutorial video was just what does Mike Evans' numbers look like over the past couple seasons with Tom Brady when Chris Godwin is off the field. So that's pretty cool. You can just take a look at some of those numbers instead of just saying like it saves you so much time because in the past I would take Godwin stats, Evan's stats, figure out which games they didn't play together, then add up all those. It's just right there for you. So many different things that you can do and take a look at. So that's a helpful tool. We'll be doing a lot of those tutorial videos on our FTN Network YouTube page. So make sure you are subscribed over there. It's free to check out. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to dive into round 15 of NFFC. We're going to talk about the players going in that draft. We're really digging deep here of the couple like late round targets, a couple flyers, and then we'll get into some undervalued backs in fantasy football. So lots to get to here on Mean Streets. Keep her locked. Welcome back in. A couple news items. I did see Daily Handle checking in. Jesse Bates, pretty good safety for the Cincinnati Bengals, is sitting out and won't sign his $12.9 million franchise tender. We do appreciate that news note. Daily Handle, he's not going to report to training camp. We'll see if they can figure things out there for sure. And then Lee Ving is in the house as well. Jags and Texans bottom five rosters? I think so. I think Seattle is going to have a rough go this year as well, but they have some pieces on that squad, right? Like DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Rashad Penny had a nice finish to last year. Kenneth Walker is a running back that they took in the second round. So there's some nice pieces on the squad. I thought they did okay in the draft as well, trying to like bolster the offensive line. They did lose Russell Wilson, of course, and they lost Bobby Wagner. Those are two, you know, really strong pieces on the squad, but the Texans don't really have a whole lot to offer. And the Jags don't have a whole lot to offer either. There's some appealing pieces on both of those squads. Tomorrow, we are going to preview the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then today, we'll just kind of run through, you know, the Texans. Like I said earlier, I do believe that there's some interesting pieces there in Brennan Cooks and Brevin Jordan. And there's certainly some value there. And Mark Carr checks in too. Yeah, I mean, this is tough news. I was going to save it for the Texans talk, but yeah, Mechie, will he ever play again? He was diagnosed with leukemia. He is not going to play this season. It is, it's really touching. Obviously wish him all the best, speedy recovery, and, you know, hopefully he can continue to follow some of his dreams and he can get back on the football field. I was excited to see him and, you know, we'll see him. So thoughts and prayers up to Mechie for sure. He is not going to play this year in the NFL. So we wish him all the best. You know, unfortunately, when we talk about this stuff, you know, we do transition into, you know, NFL betting and fantasy football. It's a fine line. You know, obviously our heart goes out to, you know, thoughts to entire family. But at the same time, you know, to continue the talk in fantasy football, and sometimes it's tough to talk about fake football when you talk about things like that are so touching and life, but ultimately somebody will have an opportunity to step up inside that offense, whether it's Nico Collins, Philip Dorsett is on the squad as well. Maybe it's just a whole lot more of Brennan Cooks and potentially Brevin Jordan. So we will talk about the Texans in just a little bit. There were a couple other news items that I did see actually in the break that I could just bring up now. Corey Clement signed with the Baltimore Ravens. It's just another back on the squad. They brought in Clement and they brought in Wayne Gallman yesterday. So I guess Clement won the job. He had a huge game for the Birds when they won the Super Bowl over the Pats, but he's just really been kind of a change of pace guy. He's a third down guy who can catch some balls out of the backfield. J.K. Dobbins on the pup list. Don't know if he's going to be ready to start week one. Gus Edwards is coming back from an injury as well. They also have Mike Davis on the squad, and they also drafted Tyler Batty as well. So you have some moving pieces. They just want some depth. Baltimore went through a whole lot last year in terms of injuries. So, you know, Clement may not even be on the squad in a month, but he is for now, and he's going to take some reps as we wait to see J.K. Dobbins on the football field. Mike Davis really didn't do a whole lot last year. In fact, he was a bust. He did not return value as a top 24, 25 running back. And also Darius Leonard, my guy, when we talked about the Colts, I feel like the number one guy in terms of ADP or IDP rather, IDP, ADP, he should be the number one defensive player taken off the board. He's an absolute baller. Changed his name this morning to Shaquille Leonard. So I'll have to get used to that as well. Big Daddy Shaq, Shaquille Leonard, who is an absolute baller. One of the better defensive players in the NFL. Okay. Round 15, NFFC, we're really starting to get deep here. Look at some of the names on this board. Jalen Tolbert, wide receiver out of Dallas, rookie wide receiver. Michael Gallup could start the season on the pup list. Mari Cooper is no longer in town. Cedric Wilson is no longer in town. I do have high hopes for CeeDee Lamb. I would not be shocked if CeeDee Lamb led the NFL in targets or at least came top five in targets. I like Dalton Schultz as well as the number two in this offense. I'm actually in on Michael Gallup. I think when Gallup is healthy, I believe he could be a lock and loaded wide receiver three. I do fully believe that. They extended him. You know, we really didn't see a whole lot of consistency from him over the past couple seasons. But again, Amari Cooper has been like a 1,000-yard machine for Dallas over his time there. It's a big blow to lose a guy like Amari Cooper. So it's an opportunity for a guy like Jalen Tolbert. James Washington is on the squad, which I don't believe in. I think we could see something out of Tolbert early on. The opportunity is going to be there. How quickly can he turn out and, you know, pick up the playbook? And what would the rapport be like with Dak Prescott? It's still going to be a high-powered offense in Dallas, a top-five offense. I do believe they led the NFL last year in points and passing yards. They were right there, them and the Bucs, 1-2. It's still a strong offense. The offensive line took some hits. Losing Cooper is a bit of a downgrade. But certainly in this range, we're looking for upside. We're looking for guys who, you know, could be difference makers. And I think Jalen Tolbert could be. I do believe I'd rather have Michael Gallup. I'm willing to take that shot on Gallup in around wide receiver 55. I think he's a terrific value. If he wasn't hurt, he would be a wide receiver 30, 35 in that range for me, honestly. So I'm willing to take the shot on Gallup and, you know, just see how things play out over the first couple of weeks. But I think in this range, Tolbert's a pretty good play as well. Daniel Jones, you know, I've took a lot of heat from the Giants fans when I did the New York Giants preview, and I get it. I understand, you know, the pushback. Certainly, it's been a bloody mess in New York in each of the past couple of seasons. The Giants have been like dead last or 28th or 29th in passing yards and total offense. And each of the past two seasons, Saquon suffered an injury. The offensive line hasn't been good. The play calling has been absolutely atrocious, right? Like Garrett hasn't done a great job. Judge just kind of lost the locker room last year. And, you know, bringing in Brian Daboll is so significant. It's one of the biggest offseason moves that we can talk about. And even in players, we can put it into grouping of really good athletes, switching teams and switching jerseys. Brian Daboll is a terrific play caller. He's going to do wonders for this Giants offense. They had nothing from the wide receiver position at all last year. Kenny Golladay, nothing. Sterling Shepard had moments. Kadarius Toney had moments as well. When John Ross and Dante Pettis are leading your squad in touchdowns among wide receivers, you know you have an issue. But Daniel Jones provides a bit of a rushing floor. I know that some of the big rushing games that he had last season came when Saquon Barkley was hurt. The offensive line is improved. They did a good job in the draft. They had two top 10 picks. They addressed the offensive line. Daniel Jones has shown moments in the NFL. He's definitely had some issues with turnovers and fumbles. That has been a major concern. I do believe he has 1 foot out the door. I think this is his last go. I wouldn't be shocked if we saw Tyrod Taylor at moments this season, but Daniel Jones is set up to have more success this year if they can get something out of Kenny Golladay. I really do like Kadarius Toney. And then, you know, if Saquon Barkley can stay healthy and just sniff, doesn't have to be the same type of season that he had as a rookie, but just kind of flirt with 50 plus catches, stay healthy behind a better offensive line. I think Jones could be a strong quarterback too in super flex leagues. That's kind of it. That's all I'm at with him there. Raheem Mostert tweeted yesterday, he is ready to rock. There's a lot of moving pieces in Miami. Sony Michel was brought in. Miles Gaskin's still in the squad. Everybody likes Chase Edmonds. I think Chase Edmonds has the most upside at the running back position for Miami. But let's be honest about how Chase Edmonds has been used over the past couple seasons. Actually, since he's entered the league, there's only been four games where he's had at least 13 carries. There was one game a couple years ago when Kenyon Drake went down, and he had 23, 24 carries, and he didn't do anything with those carries, and he went up against a weak Miami run defense. I remember it. I ranked Chase Edmonds as like RB5. I am a huge, huge Chase Edmonds fan. I just don't know if Miami's going to use him the way that people want him to be used. I don't think he's going to be a back that gets 10 to 15 carries a game. I think he's going to get a couple. I think he's going to be the lead. I think he's going to be the third down guy. But when they get to the goal line, like, let's not be shocked. It's not going to be Chase Edmonds who's getting those goal line carries. He didn't get them in Arizona. It was Kyler and it was Kenyon Drake. It's going to be Raheem Mostert. It's going to be Sony Michel. Both guys have a knack for the end zone. Raheem Mostert is very familiar with Mike McDaniel over at San Fran. They brought him. Remember the tweet when they signed him? And Raheem Mostert said basically the reason why he signed there, he's familiar with Mike McDaniel, who was calling some plays in San Fran. And interesting to see how McDaniel's going to run his offense, but he's been with Kyle Shanahan his whole career. In San Fran, in Houston, in Washington. Like, he has just been there. He's just been lockstep with Shanahan. So I think it's going to be a very familiar offense, very similar than as San Fran's. Multiple running backs riding the hot hand. A lot of change of motion, a lot of just, you know, some audibles at the line of scrimmage. You got an accurate quarterback in Tua. But I don't believe Tua is going to drop back and throw the ball 40 plus times. I think they're going to play at a bit of a slower pace and run the rock with multiple running backs. But I believe that Raheem Mostert has a legitimate shot of being the goal line back there, if not him, Sony Michel. So I just think everybody in Miami, I'd rather just kind of fade the entire backfield. I think that Chase, like I said, Chase Edmonds got that high ceiling at the high upside. I don't mind his price. I don't love it. But when we're getting to this point, again, we're just looking for flyers, guys that who could, you know, maybe fall into larger roles. I don't think Raheem Mostert's a great target. I think ultimately, as we talk this out, I think that this is just a crowded backfield that you don't want anything to do with. Anything. Joshua Frick in the house. Chase Edmonds couldn't even beat out Connor. I don't know if he's that dude. I agree. And I like Connor. And Connor had a boatload of touchdowns last year. I think he had 15 or 18. As he certainly had, he was second in rushing touchdowns. He wasn't efficient between the tackles. He was like 3.7 yards per carry. It was like, not great. Career lows across the board for him. He's lucky he found the end zone as much as he did, or he wouldn't have finished as a top 10 running back. I think he's a bit of a bust. I'm not interested in Connor this year. I do agree with that, Kate, that take, Joshua Lee. We'll get to that in a little bit. We're going to actually talk about Ingram a little bit later on. I think he's an undervalued running back. So we'll touch on that in a little bit if you want to hang tight. Lee, we do appreciate the comments and you hanging out with us here on the show. Let's get back to this list here, Tyler. I just want to walk through all these guys, right? Alec Pierce, I think I'd rather take the shot on him than Paris Campbell. Interesting that to hear, and good news for Campbell and people that like Campbell is that he's going to get on the field in like two wide receiver sets. That wasn't the case last year. He was only getting on the field in three wide receiver sets. The Colts really don't run a lot of three wide receiver sets. At least they didn't last year. They ran the rock a lot with Jonathan Taylor, and he's just kind of behind the eight ball. And that's why I didn't like him at all last year, and hearing that throughout the season, just really no hope. But they're giving him an opportunity. But honestly, like Alec Pierce, I think there's a little bit more upside in waiting another round or two potentially to get Pierce. Robbie Anderson, I'm not totally interested in this at all. I don't think I'll have too many shares of Robbie Anderson in Carolina. It's kind of like CMC, DJ Moore, and maybe like a late round flyer on Terrace Marshall. Deshaun Watson, let's be honest about Watson. We just don't know anything here. I've heard reports from anywhere from 2 to 8 game suspension, 6 a full year, no suspension this year. I really don't know. I don't really know what to say about this situation. If he plays, if we hear tomorrow that this guy is not suspended, he's a top 10 quarterback, and there's no question about it. If he is suspended, I would just avoid him. Like, I think he's going to get a suspension. I'd avoid everybody in Cleveland. If he's not under center, I don't really like David Bell, who potentially could start on the PUP list. I don't love Amari Cooper with Jacoby Brissett. Just know that if you're drafting Deshaun Watson, he could be a league winner for you at this price, but he could just be an absolute mess. Mark Ingram here. Lee, we'll get to that in a little bit. Corey Davis, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, is the second defense off the board. The Bills were the first one, I believe, in round 13. Mac Jones, who Bill Belichick said yesterday he's seen major improvements in Mac Jones. They did bring in Devontae Parker. I think that Kendrick Bourne is underrated. Jacoby Myers has been a ball hog, but he doesn't really find the end zone. Ultimately, this is going to be a team that wants to run the rock, and we know that Damian Harris is on the last year of his contract, and the Pats don't re-up on running back, so I think they'll kind of run him into the ground. They got a nice mix there with Ramondre Stevenson in there as well. Mac Jones could make for an okay number two as in Superflex, but I think I'd rather have Daniel Jones. Ryan Tannehill, don't even know who the offensive coordinator is in New England either. Are they going to let us know? I don't know what's happening there. Ryan Tannehill, talked about him yesterday with the Titans preview. Not into him. Marvin Jones and then Austin Hooper could be the number two, probably the number three for Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill, you know, we got Robert Woods, who I do like, and Treylon Burks. These guys going neck and neck. Joshua Frick says it's 30% Corey Davis and 20% McKenzie. Too much in best ball, meanie. I actually really like McKenzie. Jamison Crowder sitting out practice today. I think at the end of today, I believe we have all 32 teams in the NFL. Training camp has started for all 32 teams. That's cool. So it's awesome. Now we can stop speculating and all these reports. We can actually hear, see some stuff. We will address it on this show, whether you can buy into this report or not buy into it. Some of it's bogus. Some of it's real. Some, you know, we will talk about all the reports that happen, guys moving up and down depth charts, up rankings will be updated on this show and over at ftnfantasy.com. I think McKenzie is very interesting. Jamison Crowder, I've talked about him on the show before about being an interesting late round target in best ball as well as that Bills stack to get a piece of that. He's had some huge moments in the NFL. When he was in Washington, he was top 3, I think, in red zone targets. when he's healthy with the Jets. When he was healthy with the Jets, he had some big moments as well and some really bad quarterback play. He's going to have the best quarterback he's ever played with. He played with Cousins, but let's be honest, he's playing with Josh Allen in an up-tempo, really explosive offense. But if he does find, if he can't stay healthy and can't stay on the field, and he's already just riding the bike and not getting out there, and maybe they're just like, okay, you're the vet, no rush to get you out there. You want to see him out there with Josh Allen, there's no question. And Cole Beasley had a really significant role in the slot. But Isaiah McKenzie will play some slot this year for the Bills. He's going to be a gadget guy. He showed up last year towards the end of last season, had some moments in the postseason as well. I think he's a pretty good get. I like that. 27%, I don't think it's too much. Corey Davis, I'm a little bit, I'll be honest, I was completely in on him last year. I had him in a lot of spots. I had the over on his 700 receiving yards. He suffered that injury. It looked like it was going to get there. He certainly was Zach Wilson's favorite target. But now, you know, you have Elijah Moore inside the slot who carved out a pretty significant role towards the end of last season. Then you get Garrett Wilson in here. So I don't know. I'm just trying to project touches and target share. I think it could be fairly even. I think the gap, I think there's too big of a gap between Elijah Moore and Garrett Wilson personally. I know that, you know, slot wide receivers are, I really do like the target slot wide receivers. I feel like, especially for younger quarterbacks, you know, you got that rapport. It's like an easy completion. And I think Elijah Moore probably will lead the team in targets. And then it's kind of a crapshoot. Like I would say it could be 20% for all these guys and around 20 to 25%. So I think it's a good late round pick. I think it's a good late round flyer. Corey Davis is a really good athlete. He had a great contract year at the Titans and then signed that deal with the Jets. It's a lot of moving pieces, but we know that the Jets are pretty bad defensively still, and they will be playing from behind. So we could see, you know, anywhere from like 5 to 6 targets a game for Corey Davis. Could be the red zone guy there. There was definitely a rapport at the start of the season. My guy in this range, though, is Marvin Jones. And I'm a sucker for Marvin Jones, so we could proceed with caution. But honestly, Marvin Jones had a decent season last year on just a brutal Jacksonville team. And they're still going to be bad, but there's an upgrade at the coaching position with Doug Peterson. That's absolutely crystal clear. Last year, how about this? 120 targets, 73 grabs, you know, 832 yards. He only had 4 touchdowns, but he does have at least 8 touchdowns, Marvin Jones, in 3 of his past 5 seasons. So he has been a big red zone threat for, you know, some of his former quarterbacks. He had a big campaign in Cincy. I think he had like a game where he had 4 touchdowns. And then, you know, he played some time with Matthew Stafford and a bit of a downgrade last year, of course, the quarterback position. But you know, his yards per reception is healthy, 11.4, had 30% of this team's air yard, 20% target share, A-dot healthy as well, 18 red zone targets. Look at the note on the right, 8 end zone targets, which was actually finished 8th in end zone targets, excuse me, and he had 13 of them last year. That was tied for 8th. He was up there with some big names, honestly. And this Jacksonville Jaguars team, they're going to continue to pass the rock. They passed at 61% of the time last year. Pace of play, they ran faster than anybody. 25.2 seconds per snap. That's from our pace tools over at ftnfantasy.com. Of course, this was a team that played from behind quite a bit. That's going to continue. They're going to be playing from behind a lot this season. You got to feel like Trevor Lawrence is going to take a step forward with better play calling with Doug Peterson calling the shots, but they're still going to be playing from behind. So, and there's not a lot of moving pieces there. Like they signed Christian Kirk to that crazy deal, and he's getting drafted as a wide receiver 1, and he probably has the highest ceiling inside this offense. They got Zay Jones there as well, who I think is an interesting flyer, and then Laquon Treadwell, who did okay last year as well. But look at where he finished. Wide receiver 34 on just a bad team that just couldn't figure it out. 10.6 fantasy points per game from a full point setting is not really tremendous, but finishing as wide receiver 34 is okay. And he is going as wide receiver 73 here. He's basically free. I have him in the mid 60s. I think Ratcliffe likes him a little bit more. I think he's got him around wide receiver 60. I think that this is a decent shot here. Not a lot of competition. Big red zone guy, and there was a rapport last year with him and Trevor Lawrence. I would not be shocked if Marvin Jones was the number one guy for Trevor Lawrence this year. The number one guy, maybe Christian Kirk in there, and then I think Zay Jones is interesting as a flyer as well. Of course, we'll have Travis Etienne catching some balls out of the backfield. We are going to break, and we'll dive into Lee's question. What round would Ingram go up to if Kamara was suspended for 6 or 8 games? We'll talk about that and a couple other undervalued running backs in fantasy football next year on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in Mean Streets Live on Game Plus Network. We're going to take a look at some undervalued running backs. Yesterday, we looked at some sleeper running backs. So I got a couple undervalued running backs. And Lee, one of those running backs is Mark Ingram. We'll save him for the end. But a spoiler, we are going to talk a little bit about Mark Ingram, and we'll dive into Kamara and all those things. But I want to lead here with what I think is one of the most undervalued running backs. And I know people may not like this at all, but it is Melvin Gordon. I think Melvin Gordon is one of the most underrated, undervalued running backs in fantasy football, especially if you start your draft maybe with a bell cow running back in the first round, and then you dive into like wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, and then you want to have a couple other running backs. Like Miles Sanders is always sitting there in around round 8 to round 10, and so is Melvin Gordon. And I, just like everybody else, I see the upside in Javonte Williams. I think he's a stud. He's my RB2 in dynasty leagues. If there was no Melvin Gordon, he would be a lock and load, a top five running back for me. I won a lot of consolation brackets last year with Javonte Williams on my squad. The year before, I won a lot of consolation brackets with Cam Akers on my squad. It took a couple, a few games for those rookies 2 years ago. It was really nothing from Cam Akers towards the end of last season, towards the end of 2 years ago. And then last year, Javonte Williams, same sort of deal. It was Melvin Gordon. Then we started to see a little bit more Javonte Williams. And then towards the end of the season, we saw a little bit more Javonte Williams, especially in the receiving game. And he got some more work out of, inside the red zone or red zone packages. But take a look at these numbers from last year between these two running backs. Like, could it get any closer? They each had 203 attempts, 900 rushing yards, 4.4 yards per pop, 4.5 yards per pop for Gordon. This is the biggest difference, the 53 targets for Williams, 43 grabs for Gordon, 38 targets, 23 grabs, more receiving yards, of course, with more work in the passing game for Javonte. The red zone usage was in favor of Melvin Gordon. Gordon finishes with 12.2 fantasy points per game in a full point setting. Javonte finishes with 12.1 fantasy points per game in a full point setting. One guy's going as RB9, ADP 16. One guy's going as RB37, ADP 107. Gordon was an unrestricted free agent, and Denver decided to bring him back. They also have a new regime, of course, new coaching. They basically have Green Bay's offense is what they're going to bring over. Tight ends coach, offensive coordinator, calling the shots, Nathaniel Hackett in Denver. They brought in Russell Wilson. I don't think Russell Wilson is going to cook like everybody wants him to. He's got a lot of good weapons. I think this offense will be kind of run heavy. I think they'll run more than they pass. Wilson's very efficient. The defense is fantastic. Maybe they can rely on that defense and run the rock. The fact that they brought back Melvin Gordon, I think, is very telling, is that this guy has a lot to offer. He's a veteran back. He's a good pass blocker. He's just a good running back. And Javonte Williams is fantastic in his own right as well. You just look across the league, there's a lot of committees. And I think it's important for teams to have committees. To have a 1-2 punch like this is terrific. It keeps everybody fresh. Denver is inside the top 10 in terms of Super Bowl odds. It's a really tough division, but I view them as a playoff squad. I think that it's going to be like 60-40 in terms of timeshare. And I think Javonte is going slightly too high. And it does pain me to say this. Last year Andy Behrens. My goodness. It's like Brad Evans, Andy Behrens, former Yahoo guys. Behrens is still a Yahoo. And he came on this show and he told me to like cool it. I was all on Javonte Williams. Of course, I told you I want a consolation bracket. He's like, listen, it's not going to be all Javonte Williams. Melvin Gordon is a veteran back. He is great inside the red zone. He's going to get his fair share of usage. And he did. I think even though it is a new regime, it's new coaching staff, I think it's going to play out very, very similar. And do you want to have a Melvin Gordon, like a guy that's going to split touches with Javonte Williams, who has a higher ceiling, who potentially could be the league winner? I know that there's some pause there and reason to be hesitant of maybe pulling the trigger on a Melvin Gordon, but we're getting him roughly as RB40. If you can get him as your flex, I think that's not bad. I think it's pretty good. Listen, Gordon has had 8+ touchdowns in 6 of his 7 years in the NFL. And the 1 year he didn't was his rookie season. He actually had zero. And then he bounced back with 10. I just think he's a pretty good back. I just think he's a decent back that's going to get a little bit of work. I think it's going to be 60-40. I really do. Howard Benner came on the show a couple weeks ago and he told us he thought it would be like 65-35, maybe 70-30. I think it's going to be closer than that. I think it's going to be a bit of a slit. So I'm in on Melvin Gordon. The other back that I like here that I think is undervalued, is not really a sexy name, is J.D. McKissic of the Washington Commanders. So you see the note there on the right, fifth in targets and catches among running backs since 2019. He's just a couple years removed from an 80-catch season. They really wanted to bring him back. It was looking like he was going to Buffalo, and Washington was like, no, we want you, come back. And he was like, okay, I'm coming back anyway. So that's kind of telling that they wanted him to come back. Last year, they used him as a third down back, and they used him in the two-minute drill. I know Antonio Gibson is a former wide receiver, converted running back, but they just don't use him that way. They line him up sometimes in the slot, out wide. I don't know why they don't use him on third down or a two-minute drill. That's really confusing to me. I know that they brought in Brian Robinson, who is going to probably be the goal line back. He's at least going to steal some touches from Antonio Gibson, who had a lot of work inside the red zone last year, suffered an injury towards the end of last year, a shin injury. I think that Gibson's a bit of a bust. I thought he was a bust last year. He kind of returned value towards the end of last year. It wasn't good for him throughout the middle part, but he did come back and he got a lot of work and a lot of touches towards the end of the season. And he got banged up a bit. I don't know if he has the body type to be a guy that can get 20, that can handle 20 plus carries week in and week out. I think it's going to be a bit of a split backfield, but I think McKissic is going to take this role. Carson Wentz, like, he's been known to kind of check down to running back. So I think J.D. McKissic is going to be a guy that will continue to rack up some catches out of the backfield in a full point PPR league. I think he's an interesting target. Can we bring that board up one more time, Tyler? I just want to see where he finished in fantasy points per game. 11.6, RB 37. He missed some time, guys. He had 43 catches on 53 targets, and he missed games last season. He's not a sexy name, but he's a guy who could be a difference maker for you. I have him as RB 40 in a full point setting. He's going as RB 51. A couple other names here on the board. Tyler, let's bring it up, and we'll roll through these names quickly. So James Robinson, don't need to spend too much time on Robinson, but of course, I kind of was a little bit on the fence with Robinson. I did draft him in a couple spots, you know, that Independence Day draft. I took him, I think, in round 10 as like RB 48 or something like that. Now he's going right in around that range, RB 47, ADP of 138. We'll see how much he jumps up boards now that he's on the practice field, and Doug Peterson said he won't start on the PUP list and that he should be ready to go week one. 164 attempts in 14 games last year, 767 yards, 8 touchdowns, 31 catches on 46 targets. In his rookie campaign, he also played 14 games, but he had 240 attempts, so 80 more. He topped 1,000 yards and had 7 touchdowns on the ground. He also caught 49 balls and 60 targets. That's just the difference between the coaching staff last year and Urban Meyer not wanting to give this guy the attempts and having the attempts in the exact same amount of games as a rookie and finishing as a top 10 running back. I don't think he's going to be a top 10 running back. Travis Etienne is going to be sprinkled in, but I think he is going to be the lead. I think he could be a low end RB2, certainly a flex running back. You're not taking him in that spot, or in terms of draft capital, it's just not going to cost you that. 4.5 yards per carry, 1,800 yards on the ground, and just shy of 1,600 receiving yards in 2 years. Marlon Mack is in there. We touched on him yesterday. I think I'd rather Damian Pierce. He's going as RB44. I think there's more upside there, but for Mack as RB56, there's certainly a ceiling, and he is valuable at this point. He only played 6 games last season. He's behind Taylor and Hines. He only had 108 yards and 28 carries, so he didn't do a whole lot there. But 7 games, that's it in the last 2 years, so we haven't seen a whole lot from him. But in 2019, he had 1,000 yards, 4.4 yards per attempt, 8 touchdowns on 247 attempts, 17 touchdowns and 2,000 yards in back-to-back seasons with 31 grabs in 2018 and 2019. So he's not too far removed from 1,000 yards. And then Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards. Mark Ingram didn't do a whole lot last year, but he does have 3 1,000-yard campaigns, 2 of them with the Saints, and 7 games with the Saints last year. He only had 68 attempts and 260 yards, but he did catch 20 of his 26 targets. I do believe we will see Alvin Kamara suspended. It may not be this season, though. It may take some time. It's a bit of a tricky situation here in terms of Melvin Gordon. So this is kind of my thinking when it comes to Alvin Kamara. There's a couple ways that this could happen. The case could get thrown out, which we'd be looking at maybe 2 to 4 game suspension to start the season. If he pleads not guilty, it could, and then probably goes to trial. In that instance, we're looking at a felony charge, which is a mandatory 6-game suspension. If this is drawn out, the legal process is drawn out, we may not see the suspension until next year. So there's a bunch of different moving pieces. I believe, to answer your question, Lee, if he is suspended for 6 games, I think he would go in around RB 40 to RB 45. That's probably a 7th round pick. He doesn't have a lot to offer, but he will be a guy that he'll be the lead on a decent team that ran the ball a lot last year, really in terms of pace of play. They slowed it down and the percentage of plays, it was heavy run opposed to passing. No Sean Payton there. It could still be heavy run. So I think he's an okay target right now as potential, like kind of planning ahead if Alvin Kamara gets suspended. But also if you have Kamara and this guy is indeed suspended, then you have a starting running back, or you just draft Kamara. I think you handcuff him with Ingram and kind of play that out. It's a pick that's not going to cost you a whole lot, just like Gus Edwards. It's a pick that's not going to cost you a whole lot. He's had 700 plus yards in each of his 3 years in the NFL, 5.2 yards per carry. He's not going to catch any passes, but he could still churn out another 700 yards for you on the ground. We're going to break and we're going to talk about those Houston Texans. Oh, baby, lots to get to here on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. All right, let's talk about the Houston Texans. Of course, this is one of the worst rosters in the NFL. And as you see here, they do have a very low win total, and that's expected. 4.5 wins. They are long shots. Even a win the division at 45-1. Again, I'd maybe sprinkle like a buck on this. Why not? Crazier things have happened. I believe like DraftKings and FanDuel have them at 25-1. So this is from Caesars. They actually have a bit of a long shot here. You know, things could happen again. Derrick Henry could go down. Matt Ryan could go down. All of a sudden, the division is wide open. I think I'd rather, if I'm taking a long shot, it's probably rather the Jags. But ultimately, this is like a 3 or 4 win team. I wouldn't even touch the total. It's just, you know, too low to get involved with the under. They won 4 games last year, and it's too tough for me to say that they're going to win 5 games. Let's transition over to the weapons. There's a couple guys that I really want to talk to here, and mostly it's Brandon Cooks. Like Brandon Cooks, I feel like is just always, always undervalued. Last season, he finished as wide receiver 20, 14.5 fantasy points per game. The season before that, he finished as wide receiver 17, 15.5 fantasy points per game. All he's really done is get traded across multiple teams, right? New England, the Saints, the Rams, the Texans. But this is a guy who's had 1,000 yards in back-to-back seasons with Houston, 81 grabs in 2020, 90 grabs in 2021. He's had 1,000 yards in 6 of his past 7 seasons. He's not going to be a big touchdown guy, but he's going to be inside the top 5 in terms of air yard percentage and target percentage. Volume is king in fantasy football. This team is awful. Davis Mills wasn't as bad as people expected. I don't think he makes for a strong quarterback, too. I think he's a decent third quarterback on your squad. But Cooks is a guy that certainly could return value. I already told you, back-to-back seasons, he finished as a top 20 wide receiver, and we're getting him around wide receiver 23. I know it's not a sexy name, guys, but if you get him as your third, heck, even your 4th wide receiver, because he's going to fall down draft boards because he's got Houston next to his name, he's going to return value. There's an opportunity there for Nico Collins. Amendola is suspended. We talk about Mechie's not going to be with this team this year. Unfortunately, we wish him all the best. Nico Collins as wide receiver 76, certainly an opportunity to step forward in this offense. But I really like Brevin Jordan. Only played 9 games last year. And then just the last 8 games were decent from him. He had 28 targets and 20 catches in his 9 games. But if you take away that first game where he only had 1 catch and 1 target, this is a guy who averaged just over 3 targets and just shy of 3 catches per game. It's not a whole lot. He had some decent games, 41 yards, 56 yards. He had 3 touchdowns last year in the final 6 games of the season. It's just an opportunity inside this offense for somebody to step up. So he would be a late round flyer for me in deeper, deeper formats. I think we'll be talking about him in DFS. He could be a red zone target for Davis Mills. It's really just Cooks and Jordan taking the upside on Pierce. Mac is going to fall down draft boards. Somebody is going to carry the rock in Houston, and it's going to be one of those two guys. It's not going to be Rex Burkhead, who did actually have some games with a lot of volume last year. Just goes to show there is an opportunity for somebody in this offense to get the touches. I think Mac will be the lead because he's an experienced guy, and then Pierce maybe will take over time. That is it for the Texans. They probably win 3 games, and Cooks finishes as a wide receiver 2 yet again. A couple more segments here. We have MLB picks and some exciting news towards the end of the show. A couple exciting things to tell you about. So some MLB picks in here next. Don't go anywhere. A couple MLB picks and props here for you. 4 for 6 yesterday. A lot more in our FTM bet tracker. Let's lead here with Shane McClanahan. It is Shane McClanahan day. You know, we love this guy. We have a 30-1 Cy Young award or prop or future rather in our FTM bet tracker. Hopefully we can get this. McClanahan has 140 strikeouts in 110 innings. My goodness, he's been fantastic. He's racked up at least 8K in 8 of his last 12 starts, 4 of his last 5. He hasn't allowed more than one. Actually, he hasn't allowed more than 4 hits in a start since June 3rd, and he hasn't allowed more than 2 runs since April 30th. In fact, he's never allowed more than 3 runs this season, and he's only allowed 3 runs in 2 starts this year. Baltimore ranks 3rd in strikeout percentage against left-handed pitching. Also, a couple other strikeout props here for you. We got Clevinger, who racked up 8 strikeouts in his last start against Arizona. He's up to 48K and 46 and a third. He should be able to go 6 innings against Detroit here, a team that ranks 5th in strikeout percentage against right-handed pitching. They're also bottom 5 in average, WOBA, on-base percentage, OPS, ISO, WRC+, and they rank last in home runs, and they enter with the lowest WOBA and WRC plus against right-handed pitching. We got Green on the board, 113 punchouts in 90 innings this season. Miami strikes out a little bit more against lefties. We know that from last night against Nick Lodolo. But overall, against righties, they've struggled at the plate. Over the last month, they ranked 12th in strikeout percentage against righties and dead last in WOBA, ISO, and home runs, and second last in WRC plus and runs scored over the last month. We got Gray in there, Ozaia Gray, up against the Dodgers. 20 hits, 6 homers, and 13 runs allowed in his last 3 starts. He's struggling with walks and homers, so he could get pulled early, but I think the Dodgers will still get to him. They can get 5 hits on this guy, can't they? They rocked him earlier in the year. They had 5 hits, 3 homers, and 7 runs against them earlier this season. And then you see Whit Merrifield, a matchup here against Jose Suarez of the Angels, and he is just not a great pitcher. So Whit Merrifield has got a double in each of his last 3 games, and he has racked up 7 hits over that span as well. So taking the over 1.5 total bases and the over in the battle of New York between the Yankees and the Mets. This is too low. 8, the Yankees can get there themselves. I got some exciting news to wrap up Mean Streets on Game Plus Network. Don't go anywhere. Some exciting news here, and in terms of FTN and Game Plus Network, starting next week, we will have 4 new shows on Game Plus Network. We are debuting MLB Picks and Props Around the Diamond, myself, Frank Breich, and MLB Dream. That will come at you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evening. We have Bogey Free, which will come at you Wednesday night with Alex Blickle, Brian DeCorti, and Matt Jones. It's a golf show. Fantasy Football Picks and Props Tuesday and Thursday with myself and Eric Young. And then Betting with Benny Ricciardi is going to come your way on Monday and Friday as well. So lots of exciting things happening. We appreciate all the support. Make sure you check out Game Plus Network. Always a fantastic lineup over there. You can catch all in football as well with Jake Seeley and, of course, Pat My Experience, Fantasy Footballers, all that good stuff. And hopefully Mean Streets again tomorrow. Have a good one. We'll chat to you then. Cheers.